All right. Welcome, everyone. It is time for office hours. I am Kathy, your host. It's been a day, y'all. I have coached all afternoon. It's been awesome. I was just telling Corinne, I just love my job. I'm in good spirits. I'm working hard. I'm ready to coach you. Azizi, I see you, I think, on every single call. I am just so impressed with that. So how's everybody doing tonight? Here's the deal. We are here for a couple of hours. Let's first, before we get started, while everybody's coming in, let's talk about what's coming up this week. So tomorrow, Corinne is doing a free webinar for anyone in the world who wishes to attend. So it's tomorrow, March 19th. It is for the public and for the tribe. It's called Lose Weight, Not Your Mind. It is, she actually did it earlier this week for the first time. It's amazing. I listened to it. I was on there in the chat. It just addresses all things that are going on in our world right now that lead to or just overeat. And so it's good, good stuff. So that is at 9 a.m. Central tomorrow. You should get an email about it. It is on the tribe calendar. I need to make sure the correct URL is in the, yeah, let me just copy. It's a different Zoom room than the normal Zoom room. So I'm going to go ahead and put it in the, there, in the, calendar. So that's coming up tomorrow. We have Tribe Q&A tomorrow evening with moi, me. And then on Sunday, Corinne will have office hours with the tribe, with the entire membership. And then she has Queen's Club. So that's what's coming up. You're going to get a lot of us these days, and that's good. That's a good thing. So if you want to be coached tonight, you can raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you'll use the chat. You guys are already doing that a little bit. Everyone's saying hello. Reno, Nevada, Minnesota, Central PA. So use the chat, talk amongst yourselves. Make sure you are talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, I'm the only one who will see your comment. And I won't necessarily be checking the chat, especially if you guys keep me busy with the coaching. So I don't have any hands raised yet. Y'all want me to just chat or what's going on here? There's somebody good. Let's get this rolling. I want to coach you guys. So let's see what you got, Stephanie. You're up first. Going on here? Is Zoom acting crazy? Let's try again, Stephanie. Oh, here you come. Hello.
Hi. I'm okay. I'm trying to be okay, put it that way. I'll be honest in saying that I haven't watched anything that Corinne and you, and I know that you guys are doing a whole lot with mm-hmm. everything going on. I've been glued mm-hmm. to the news. Mm-hmm. I am struggling with obviously not being on a schedule, mm-hmm. Grab-assing a ton of stuff that I shouldn't be, not binging, but I notice I can get through the day and then in the evenings, I want to munch on something. I'm doing my models, everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I keep going back to the thing that's bothering me the most, I think. And maybe this is the rule follower in me, is how are people outside? Like, my mind keeps going to this. Like, why are people not just following what is being asked of them to prevent this? And that keeps coming back to my thought. And I need to think of a I was hoping you could help me with maybe a different model that I could perhaps move to help me deal with that and get it out of my head.
Okay. So the thought can't be a question, right?
Right.
The thought is always a sentence.
And right. I had down.
Go ahead.
People won't listen is my thought.
Okay. People won't listen. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you think they're not listening?
I a lot of the friends that I'm talking to are saying they think it's a conspiracy theory. They don't believe that it's urgent.
Okay.
The flu is worse, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. So I'm going to put that in here. People don't believe this is urgent.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Sometimes the clearer we can get on the thought line, the easier it is to find the model. Okay.
Okay.
So what do you think the circumstance is?
I just put down the quarantine.
Okay.
Or COVID-19 or whatever.
Yeah, let's narrow that in too. So
okay.
People don't believe this is urgent. So we could have COVID-19. We could also have CDC guidelines up here.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We could have president's recommendations, presidents, governors. I mean,
right.
We all have the mayors, right?
Right.
Recommendations.
Our governor has asked like all small businesses and gyms and things like that mm-hmm. to close. Mm-hmm. And like the gym that I go to is remaining open. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of thing that's like, I catch myself wanting to just, why aren't you listening? Don't you understand that that's going, you know? And I obviously don't post anything. I'm not saying anything. Yet I can tell it's just bothering me like crazy.
But why is it bothering you that the gym is staying open?
Germs, people getting this and passing it to like my dad, you know, the older population. I just don't understand why you can't just do this so that maybe we can all be done with it sooner.
Okay. So maybe that's the crux of it. People don't believe this is urgent is a thought that you have, but I want this to be done with sooner,
mm-hmm.
right? I want everyone to follow the rules so we're back to normal.
Yeah.
Right? So let's put that in here. Okay? I want everyone to follow the rules. You realize that's a manual, right?
Yes, I do. And obviously I can't control it, so that right. is why I'm right. you know,
so interesting that this came in. I can't wait to tell Corinne, because we were doing the April call schedule today, trying to figure out what kind of calls we were going to have, and you know, are we going to do wine and ding dongs again, you know, all the things. We're going to do one on manuals.
Oh, okay.
Because this is very common right now. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I wasn't saying, why are people in the grocery store just toddling yeah. around? Get in, get out, go home. You know,
right.
I had to go get medicine yesterday. Ken drove me. I'm like, well, are you sure you want to go? He's like, yeah, I'll just drive you. I couldn't believe the number of people on the road. What are all these people doing out, right? So that's, you know, so I think this is very common. Okay. But what I tell myself that you're not telling yourself is that I don't understand everyone else's circumstances.
That's true.
Okay, I understand my circumstances. But anyway, let's finish your model. I want everyone to follow the rules. Feeling?
Scared.
Scared.
I even wrote down depressed. Like, I exercise all the time. I have not exercised since last Wednesday. So I don't know. I think it's all coming from being scared more than anything else.
So, but when you're scared, do you not exercise?
I shut down.
You shut down?
If it's something like this magnitude, mm-hmm. I don't know. I sort of like,
but
I guess I do.
Are you scared
something
because people aren't following the rules, or are you scared for another reason?
I don't know, because like I tell myself, I really am not afraid of. I know, or I feel that I could if I got this, it would be much better than if my dad or somebody else got it. I feel that I could make it through a 14-day quarantine. Like, I'm not afraid of getting it. Mm-hmm. I'm just afraid of, I guess, what this is going to do for everybody, for our nation, for my kids at school, for family members, for all the stuff that I can't have any control over.
Right. So you don't know what will happen. That's very paraphrasing, and I don't want to offer you thoughts, so you tell me if that's not correct.
No, that's correct. Yeah.
That's another model.
Okay.
That's the uncertainty model. I don't know what will happen. I can't imagine, you know, what the future is going to be, what next week is going to be. Scared.
Okay.
I think I want everybody to follow the, well, and let's finish this because I'm trying to go red here to show you two different models.
Okay.
So the action line here is shut down.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm writing my plans. I'm assessing my plans. I follow them for most of the part. And then, like I said, now I just ate dinner. I'm hoping tonight I can make myself not, you know, but it's like 8 o'clock-ish. And I'm not a snacker, Kathy. I'm not. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't. You know, there's been many times I put protocol in my lines for snacks. And I have a protocol, and I usually don't grab anything all day, you know, snack-wise. But like I said, since last Wednesday, I am, you know, it's like one thing a night. If it's not chocolate, then it's chips. If it's not that, it's, you know, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I can't sustain that. I don't want to sustain that, you know.
So if I were to say eat for relief. That would be correct.
Yes.
Okay. Or to buffer or to not feel scared or something. Mm-hmm. Anything else you do when you're scared because you don't know what will happen? Do you disaster plan? Catastrophize?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll never spell that right.
No, that's okay.
Catastrophize. You wouldn't, I don't know. You're a teacher. You'd probably know. So what else?
Like I said, I just sort of shut down. I'm watching everything and I know I need to get away from it, but then I'm afraid I'm going to miss something important.
So I'm going to say overwatch the news.
Yes. Yeah. It's been on since probably 6:30 this morning, mm-hmm. you know, and even when I walk out of the room and if I hear something, I'm coming back in to see what I missed and rewinding to see what I missed and doing all my work here, you know, in front of it. And,
okay.
Cause I don't want to miss something.
So the result here is that you're not creating your future.
No, I'm just stopping everything.
Right. Do you believe, let me ask you this. Do you believe you can even under quarantine, are you doing like, internet learning and stuff with your students yet? Or are you guys just out of school?
Right now we're out of school. Mm-hmm. I've created something on my own to keep in contact with the kids, to keep mm-hmm. me busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm talking to them that way mm-hmm. through Class Dojo. It's an app, you know, but I had to come up with something because I was just stir crazy and I'm worried about them. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that, but we're not required to do anything.
Okay.
Right so now.
My daughter-in-law teaches third grade.
Okay.
And they only have, we don't have a lot of snow days here. And they only have, I think, 3 or something. They're going to have to go to some kind of e-learning before too long.
Yeah.
For the kids to move, you know,
right
into the next grade or whatever.
Yeah, we have 2. And I think next week we'll probably get instructions for what we need to do because we were never set up for it. I don't know.
Right.
Even what it's going to look like for an elementary school for us. So
yeah, she doesn't either. She's what grade do you teach?
Fifth grade.
Yeah. She's like, I don't know how I'm going to talk over the internet to third graders. She's like, yeah. You know, anyway, it's going to be interesting. But that's what the result is here. You are so stuck in catastrophizing and watching the news because you're afraid you're going to miss something that you're not thinking forward. You're not deciding how you want to think. You're letting the news tell you how you want to think. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is just my thought. Those are the last people I want to tell me how to think. Because they're also catastrophizing every channel. Yeah. I'm not biased one over the other. So what you have to do with this kind of information is really be very careful to separate out the facts from the speculation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is speculating, you get to decide whether or not you buy into their speculation. That's all within your control. Okay. So back to here, I want everyone to follow the rules. So scared comes from, I don't know what will happen.
Okay.
I want everyone to follow the rules. This frustrates you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Primarily. I'm going to guess this is frustrating. And when you're frustrated, you probably do some of these same actions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I put down not follow plans and then not make goal for the month as my result.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So not follow plans means overeating, right?
It's more grab-assing. I'm stopping right here. Two at my meals, but I'm just
grab-assing.
Picking at stuff that I'm just, even Mike said, you know, you ate an oatmeal pie. You never eat an oatmeal pie, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. And well, grab-assing is a form of overeating.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. When you're frustrated, you don't exercise. You're not exercising.
Right.
And you're focusing on the news. So basically, what do you think the result of this model is?
Well, I put down that I'm not going to end up making my goal this month, but
yeah, because you're not following your own rules.
Right.
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 So the effect of that basically is that you may or may not make goal because you're frustrated, because you're focusing so hard on everybody else, you're not doing the things that you know you need to do to make your goals.
So then I'm not a rule follower.
Right. Isn't it crazy how the model works?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's very eye-opening when you think about that.
Okay.
Because you're so focused on what everybody else is doing, you're not doing what you know makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. What makes Stephanie feel good is eating right,
mm-hmm.
being true to her plan, not grab-assing, exercising. I know you love that exercise, whether you choose to go to the gym or not, you're going to exercise, right?
Yeah.
And when you do those things, you take care of yourself, even though you're self-quarantined, even though you're staying home, you're choosing to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
All these other people, there is not one thing you can do with them. Except get frustrated by them and worry about the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I was talking to one of my private clients today, and I would encourage you to do this very thing. I want you to think about Stephanie, let's say in August, when you're starting school, starting the new school year, and you're looking back and you're reflecting on the spring and the school year that you're working through and wrapping up here before too long. And I want you to think about what August Stephanie would want March Stephanie to be thinking and doing, and how she would want her to be showing up for students, for herself, for Mike. Right?
Okay.
Is you know, is August Stephanie looking back and saying, man, you spent a lot of time watching the news and eating oatmeal pies? Mm-hmm. Or is she saying, you know, I'm really proud of how you really pulled it together and started taking care of yourself and doing your managing your mind around what are facts and what's speculation, and looking out for the people you care for, giving advice, whether or not people take it, that's their decision. Because, you know, you can have a manual for them. You can tell them what it is. They get to choose if they're going to follow it.
Right.
Right. It's just like your students. You can tell them all day long, you got to do your homework, but you can't mm-hmm. do it for them.
No.
Right.
Right.
It's the same thing with these people who are going to the gym and going to the grocery store. Well, the grocery store, I guess, is okay. Right. I went in, I just kept my hands in my pockets.
I'm just like, nail salons and hairstylists. I mean, I it's just like, what are you thinking? You know, but again, you're right. I don't know their circumstances, and I need to start thinking that way a little bit too.
Right. And it's not up to you to know their circumstances. It's up mm-hmm. to them, right? To control their models. They get to do their models. You get to do yours. And right now, the two models that we pulled out that you're doing right now are not real good, healthy models.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Right. All right.
So did you do an intentional model?
Yes, I did.
Let's look at that one.
My thought was everything will be okay. And I truly believe that. I think after we get through this, everything will be okay. But I think my feeling isn't strong enough, or whatever I said, hopeful. I don't know if that's because that leaves me to believe that that's more, it's still questioning that everything will be okay if you're hoping that it is, I guess.
Maybe.
But I couldn't come up with something that I could ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what you would say, I'm working on believing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could just add to this. I want to believe everything will be okay.
Okay.
And that kind of leads to hopeful. If that's, you know, you can start the model anywhere. If you want to be hopeful, then it's best for us to match the thought to the feeling.
Okay.
So you said you really believe everything will be okay. Is that true? Or do you just want to believe that eventually everything will be okay?
I mean, I think it'll be okay as in things will go back to, we won't be on quarantine. We won't, you know, that kind of thing. I want to believe my dad will be okay. I want to believe, you know, that he and my stepmom will be okay through all of this, like that kind of stuff. I can't be certain of. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think society with all these quarantines and things, you know, will go back to easing up, you know, and school being in and things like that. I really believe that we will, you know, go back to that.
Yeah, I do too. I think the uncertainty for me is how long will it take?
Yes. Yeah.
But I can't control that.
Right.
I'm just going to take one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So right.
That's where I come from. So
maybe everything will go back. Everything will ease up, or everything will.
Well, everything will be okay. Works. Maybe we can put okay. Eventually.
Yeah, that would be good.
Everything will be okay. Hopeful. We'll leave that there. When you're hopeful, what do?
I said, follow my plans. And then the result, not ending up gaining this month.
Okay. Live life normally.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Begin to. How about begin to?
Yeah.
Live life normally. Work on managing my mind. Because honestly, that's the biggest part of this whole COVID-19 thing, is how can we manage our minds through this?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're staying home, you're managing your physical health. You're not exposing yourself.
Right.
So what's left is the emotional health. And managing your mind is what drives that. And that's what has you all upset. The thought line, which are created in your mind, is what creates the feelings line. So if you're upset or stressed or anxious or worried or scared, it's all because of thoughts.
Right.
Not because you're at home or because there's a virus out there that people are, you know, diagnosed with.
Right.
It's because of what you're thinking about it. So if your thought every day is eventually everything is going to be okay, you know, this could even be maybe calm or present or aware, you know, it could be any of these things really that are pretty bland.
Okay.
Then the result is you create a life for yourself that's okay.
Okay.
Or that you're okay with, that you're happy with. And that's because you're following your plans. You're working to live life in a as normal as you can, being at home and a teacher and trying to, you know, you're working to normalize your life and you're managing your mind.
Okay.
Does that help? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think it does. There's a few things. I'm going to offer you my model. Okay. I've been working on mine. And so I'm going to offer this to everyone, just not because I think it's the perfect model for everyone, but I'm going to tell you, it works for me. My model is, what was my thought again? My feeling was calm. My model was, I can handle myself while this plays out. Something like that. I don't think that was exactly it, but that's the gist of it.
Okay.
Calm. And when I'm calm, I limit the news. I know enough to know that I'm following the rules right now. I'm following the guidelines, whatever the CDC or the governor or whatever in our state is encouraging us to do. That's what I know. I'm not interested in Dr. Jones from upstate Idaho who has 14 new cases. I'm not interested in upstate Idaho. I'm interested in whether or not I'm taking care of me and what information I need to take care of me. So I limit the news. I listen and read to and create actually resources that help me. Here's Facebook is filled right now. Our tribe group is filled right now with resources about how to take care of your kids, how to schedule your time, how to manage your mind, how to work from home, all those, you know, people who are really looking for solutions are offering solutions. So, you know, for me, it's look for solutions rather than focus on problems. And I'm going to tell y'all, I am not doing this perfectly, but I keep this model very close to me all the time because it helps me manage my mind. It helps me stay calm. Okay. So if I find myself,
thinking I should check the news, I tell myself, I can check it tomorrow. I have 10 minutes. When I'm getting ready in the morning, I check the news. That's it. That's all I need. Because in that 10 minutes, I'm going to know everything I need to know. Because they replay the same thing all day long, right? Pretty much. And the result here is that I stick to plan and I handle myself. And I manage my mind. So I basically create for myself as normal a life as is possible right now. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm pretty introverted anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling somebody not too long ago, actually earlier today, my two closest friends, I usually don't Marco Polo with. So I might talk to them every, you know, a couple times a week. We're talking a couple times a day now on Marco Polo, which is super cool because it actually, I get to talk to them more because I'm not seeing them. So mm-hmm. when you can look for that kind of thing in your life that, you know, what is this creating for me? What is today creating for me? Then you focus more abundantly rather than on what you don't have, on what you're afraid of. If you can gear your mind toward what can I create today? How can I create being calm and present today? What do I need to get done today? What is the world offering me today? Rather than what kind of BS am I going to see on the news this time?
Okay. You know,
it all changes what you're looking for and how you look at it.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, I wrote your model down for tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. I did, you know.
Feel free to fine tune it and make it yours.
Yeah. But I mean, it'll give me more of a, I felt like I wasn't coming up with a thorough intentional one. So that's definitely more what I'm looking for. So, yeah. And each day then I can just build off of that and moving forward. So
get really super specific on your action line.
Okay.
So when you do tomorrow's model, you might say, I can handle myself today while this plays out, and tell yourself in your action line everything you're going to do. Are you going to fix dinner? Are you going to exercise? Are you going to, you know, limit the news to, you know, 30 minutes twice a day? Are you going to, you know, what are you actually going to do? Those little bitty tasks, and blow out that action line because you're telling yourself ahead of time you know, what you have planned for yourself and how you're going to take care of yourself.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you too. All bye-bye. Right.
See ya. All right. There are no hands raised. So I'm going to hit the Q&A real quick and see about everybody on the call decides if they want to be coached tonight. Let's erase this. So raise your hands. If you want to get coached, raise your hands. Let's see what's in the Q&A. My mother is insisting on traveling tomorrow on her vacation since we aren't teaching right now. I'm incredibly angry at her and would never forgive her if she gets sick and gets my dad sick. How do I get this model started? Well, anger is your feeling. Ask yourself why you are angry. And that is your thought. And so for you, the thought is, I would never forgive her if she gets sick or gets my dad sick. So then when you're angry, what do you do or not do? And what result do you create? So actually, when you write something like this down, pick out, the way you start your model is you pick out the easiest thing to identify. And incredibly angry stuck out to me. So start your model there on the feelings line. And if you want, Diana, I can help you work that model if you want to. Raise your hand. Then Anonymous is asking, well, we still have October camp, and what about DSB? I can tell you what Corinne has been saying all along is that she is evaluating very carefully each event. And decisions have not been made yet. But as soon as she makes them, she will let you know and give you a plan of action. Okay? That's the best I can do with that. And I, you know, y'all, we trust Corinne with so much. I think we can trust her with this too. She will make the best decision for us and as a group. And I, you know, I just trust her implicitly with that. All right, Carolyn, you're up. And Carolyn's the only one with her hand raised. So number two is next, you know, just in the wings. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm okay. I haven't been doing very well in my plans. And I think it's a combination of the last caller, which was very helpful, by the way, Cravo.
Good.
And working from home. So I'm finding working from home to be very frustrating.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yes. And I know it's probably because of my thoughts and the break in the routine that mm-hmm. I'm not used to. And I've been modeling about that, trying to model about it.
Why is working from home frustrating?
The lack of collaboration.
What does that mean?
For me, it's the lack of being able to speak to my coworkers, my bosses, to actually see my parts, pick up my parts, write my reports that I want to write it. Yeah.
Why can't you talk to these people?
We're mainly doing email and Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody, I'm trying to find compassion for everybody. That's where I tried to end up my intentional model last night. But everybody's pushing everything on to my department. And that's making me very angry.
So that's what's frustrating, because you told me I'm frustrated because I can't collaborate, yet you're talking to everybody on email and Skype.
Valid. So, but I'm being told that my emails, well, I've always been told my emails are too blunt. Instead of my boss.
I think we've coached on that.
Yeah, we have. So normally what happens is I show my email to my boss. He stands over my shoulder and helps me rewrite it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that right now.
Well, sure you can.
I literally just keep rewriting it.
Call him up on Skype or you email him your email.
Oh, I've been trying. I've literally sent him like seven of the revised email, seven times this email uh-huh. revised. He's like, still too blunt. So I'm like, how do I make this nicer? So
why are you really frustrated?
Probably because I'm perceived as too blunt. And this is taking longer than it normally does.
Which one?
Both. Probably the two blunt ones more in the forefront.
Okay. I'm perceived as too blunt, frustrated. I think I have the wrong marker. When you're frustrated because you're perceived as too blunt, I'm going to bet you spout off, but what do I know?
Yeah.
Anything else?
I ate it today.
Eat, of course. That's why we're here.
Well, yeah, because I tried to push it down with food. It's not working.
That doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
What else do you do or not do?
Avoid it. I've been ignoring an email or multiple emails now for most of the day because I can't figure out how to respond to it.
Oh. Okay.
Perceived as nice, not bitch.
I just love you. You crack me up.
Okay. I'm trying so hard. I have like a little sheet over here of like seven models trying to figure out how to do this stupid email.
Well, modeling doesn't write an email.
Yes, but I'm trying to figure out how to get to the point where A, this is easier, or B, I accept that I'm always going to be too blunt and that everybody just needs to suck it up.
Oh, we're gonna work on that.
Okay. Yeah, like everybody, like I've tried to take your coaching and go, well, that's their thoughts and their opinions.
No. We're going to take that a different place. I'm perceived as too blunt, frustrated, spout off, eat, avoid, and ignore. What do you think the result is?
Gain weight, not accomplish anything.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no improvement.
No.
In your bluntness. Right? No improvement in writing. right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is our, this is what we're going through now. This is our unintentional model.
Correct.
Right. Does this hurt your feelings too? I'm perceived as too blunt.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because so it's funny. I'm like, oh, I'm being so nice here. And he's like, still too blunt. I'm like, how do I get nicer?
I want to change your C line to boss sends email back. And what I mean by that is he's not rewriting it. He's telling you, well, let's do that. Boss says too blunt and sends it back. Right?
Yes.
What's your thought then?
I don't know how to make this not blunt.
Right. I don't know how to make this not blunt. Feeling?
Irritated. I think the irritate, I don't know if the irritate comes from that thought or the thought that I should have to make myself not be more blunt. The facts should just be allowed to be the facts.
Okay. That's interesting. When you're irritated, what do you do or not do? I guess we're back to avoiding and ignoring, right?
Yep. Or rewrite it 7 times as I've done today.
Okay. What do you think the result is?
Still accomplished nothing.
Right. You know why? Fixing to drop a wisdom bomb on you.
Do it. Please save me. This is going to be a long 8 weeks from home if you don't.
This right here. I don't know. When you say, I don't know, you shut yourself down. Totally block your wisdom. Totally block any forward momentum. You say, I don't know. Your brain says, well, we can't figure this out. And you spin out. That's why when you guys are on coaching calls, we never let you say, I don't know. Because you do know. You're just not looking for the answer. You're just not creating that brain synapses to find the answer in your own mind. I bet if you got up tomorrow and you said, dadgummit, I'm going to show the boss I can write a compassionate email. I bet you could do it. You just don't want to.
Yeah. I've tried 7 times. I've even tried to turn the question back on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you please confirm if this is the case? Because we thought it was this. Like mm-hmm. I've tried going that route and it's, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's what?
Too blunt.
Okay. When you say, I don't know how, do you know why he sent it back to you?
He's trying to force it out of me.
He's like, trying to get you to think about it instead of saying, I don't know. He's not trying to force it out of you. He knows it's in there somewhere. He wants you to access your own wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to coach me, but I'm finding it very irritating. Because normally, like, there's like a normal, like, we do this a lot. There's like a banter back and forth that as we're writing, it makes a whole lot more sense. I've even gone back and looked at those and be like, well, this is kind of like that one. Why is this one not acceptable now? So I think I missed the banter of trying to figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. Now he just wants you to do the work.
Yeah.
Because the banter is impossible because you're working in two different places.
Yeah.
So if I came up to you and I said, Carolyn, I've got this really sensitive issue I need you to help me, you know, write this response back to. Would you be able to do that? If I were to say, you know, I've got this, you know, I just need some help. I need somebody to help guide me along with this. Super sensitive. You okay with that?
I would sure try, yeah.
Are you trying with this stuff?
Yes. Honestly, yes, I am trying.
Okay.
But it just...
Like, so what are you learning? Other than you're too blunt, what are you learning?
It's funny. The email's sitting right here on my screen. Mm-hmm. You're right underneath my work computer right now. And it's just like, I don't everybody says this issue is not my issue, but nobody wants to take responsibility for it. I'm trying to figure out how to nicely tell them, you guys need to pick up the slack. And I've gone to the point where it says, based upon this information, engineering believes that this is a manufacturing issue. Mm-hmm. And I don't quite know how to turn that, not to be so blunt. I think the rest of it is fine, but I don't know how to flip it back onto them in a kind manner. And I know, I don't know, it's not acceptable, but it seems like no matter how I word it or how I downplay it, I'm not receiving the approval I'm seeking.
The approval from your boss?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you think could be, what part of that do you think could be construed as too blunt?
Well, I started off saying this is a manufacturing issue. Engineering is not involved. So I've tried to morph it into something better. And I don't know.
Have you stated why it's a manufacturing issue?
Yes.
Why it could be a manufacturing issue? Why it might be a manufacturing issue?
Why it's 100% a manufacturing issue with data.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the too blunt part?
Maybe. I don't know. I think what you need to do is just try a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just like with anything, there's a time to be super direct and there's a time to be a little bit less direct. I want you to think about when we coach someone who is belligerent. Okay, and really fighting for their pain. If you think about how Corinne coaches somebody who's fighting for their pain, what does she do? Right? She gets right up close to the screen. She gets their attention. She speaks very clearly, right? But if she's got somebody on the call who's just had some terrible thing happen in their life, they lost a parent, they're, you know, grieving, they're crying, she's more sit back. She's quieter. She's thinking about choosing her words carefully. She, you know, her whole demeanor and body language changes, right? It's all about how the person is going to receive you and how you can most clearly communicate to the person who's going to receive you. So in this case, you're delivering, you're being very clear that it's a manufacturing issue. So if I'm the guy that you're writing that letter to, I'm going to be like, dude, how do you know? And are you sure? And why are you accusing me of this? Rather than, huh, maybe it is. Maybe she's right. So think about who you're writing to. Who is your audience when you're writing these things? What they have vested in whatever it is you're writing about? And see if that doesn't help you just a little bit. So in other words, you're creating a result here. Right? My letter is received, you know, with, you know, how do I need to go about my email being received effectively?
It's a different way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're always so helpful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, every time, Kathy, you always teach me something new. Mm-hmm.
So that's actually something Corinne has taught me, to always think about the audience when you're writing. And I think it's super important. She's very wise. And
you have wealth knowledge in our coaches.
Yeah, for sure. So do you want to create an intentional model, or are you ready to? Okay. So the boss is sending it back and he says it's too blunt. Where do you want to start?
I can consider my audience and my response.
Let's put that in the action line. Okay.
Yes.
So in order to do that, how do you have to feel?
Compassionate.
I bet you can drum up some compassion, can't you? Mm-hmm. You want to go thought or result?
Well, I think I know the result is that everybody reads it and doesn't just dismiss it.
No. Because of everybody can't be in your feeling, in your result line. Only you can.
Oh, I forgot that.
How about I rewrite with an open mind? Everybody's calling me tonight. I rewrite with an open mind. And the thought would be, I'm open to figuring this out. Something like that. Are you open to figuring this out?
I am.
Okay. So this might not be compassionate. It could be curious. It could be, you know, something like that. I tell you, my mantra for the past 14 months, actually for longer than that, probably a couple of years working for Corinne, is feedback is my opportunity to grow. Okay, if I look at getting an email back that's not worded correctly, which I've done, gotten a lot of those back, okay, it's not worded the way they need to be worded, and I look at that as an opportunity to word the next one a little bit better, then it's a whole lot easier to keep going and figuring it out than it is, I'll never get this. I don't know how to do it. Right? Are you looking for opportunities to grow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that little sticky note hung on my monitor for a very long time. Feedback is an opportunity to grow. Somebody, Marianne in the chat, says feedback is a gift. It really is. Because if your boss is giving you feedback, guess what? He's investing in you. He believes in you. He's growing you. It's your responsibility when he gives you feedback to accept that as a growth opportunity because he's investing in you.
We're going to write that down, stick it on the monitor for this remainder of these ideas.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
It is a good one.
All right. Anything else?
No, that is it. Thank you very much, as always.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a good
day. See ya. All right. Stephania and then Gina. And Zoom is acting crazy. Let's try again. Stephania. Says you're coming as a panelist. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe you didn't mean to have your hand up. Because now you're gone. Where'd you go, Stephania? Did you mean to not have your hand up? Let's try one more time. Man, it just doesn't want to act right. Keep your hand up. Let me try Gina. Well, here comes Gina. I'm not sure what's going on with Stephania. Need you to turn your video on. Gina. Oh, there you are.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
My heart is pounding right now. I've How's never done this before.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you. I was on earlier this morning and when Corinne was asking people to write in and let me, I've wrote things down because I just don't want to mess up things, but just real frustrated in my activity level. Has a few, there's other things like involved, but like last, from when I started PMP until October, I was constantly walking, doing intervals. October came and I live here also in Nashville, and weather, you know, started getting kind of yucky. And me, soon as I'm a Florida person, so soon as the weather changed, it was like, ugh, night and day. Uh-huh. So I still kept going out and walking, even though our pool closed for the community. But I don't know what happened, but I started getting a pain in my knee, in my right knee.
Okay.
The pain didn't go away. And I kept thinking, oh, well, I'll keep losing weight and it'll, you know, it's just a temporary. I must have just done something weird. Uh-huh. And the pain since then hasn't gone away. Well, I finally went to the doctors and got x-rays. Basically, it just showed arthritis and uh-huh. osteoporosis, so uh-huh. nothing major. I know that it's nerve damage, and that's how they feel also. Months ago, I'd say in December, maybe it was November, they did a cortisone shot. It did absolutely nothing. I've only had that cortisone shot and one other one. And the first one I ever had, when we were moving, it actually worked, and I felt like a young person that next day. Mm-hmm. This one did absolutely nothing. So the doctor just recently ordered a prescription for me, and I started taking it on the 13th. I've only been on it 5 days. I had leg surgery years ago. I am a complete wimp when it comes to any kind of meds. I didn't realize this isn't anything compared to an opioid. But for somebody like me that can't handle it, it is where the anxiety level, my body aches. Try not to get my voice to go away. Right now, my anxiety level is insane. And months ago, last year when I had a surgery done, I had that a surgery and then I had an IUD put in. They gave me the IUD and the same thing with the hormones that are in it. I've never had panic attacks and normally can handle stress or just kind of deal with stress because it's life. Well, these meds are just messing me up that I cannot take anything. And it's frustrating because I want to get back to my routine of at least walking. I'd love to do the intervals again because it's something I've never done before and I actually love doing them. And you can ask like the girls that are in my my main Marco Polo, we were constantly doing it. And they're like, oh, you're motivating me. And then it just hit me that I couldn't do them. And I'm just really frustrated because I used to be a gym rat, did bodybuilding when I was young. I'm just don't get anything out of being in a gym anymore, and walking other than swimming is my favorite uh-huh. thing to do uh-huh. and I'm just frustrated because the pain's not going away and I've rested it so much. I mean, I probably walk 5 to 7, 8 times a month, so I'm barely walking uh-huh. compared to before. I was doing it all the time.
Okay, so are you still taking medication to help the pain in the knee?
I called the doctor today uh-huh. Uh-huh. and they called me back and they asked me what dosage I'm taking, and I'm taking uh-huh. what is prescribed, uh-huh. which is 100 milligrams 3 times a day. Uh-huh. I haven't taken it today. I'm uh-huh. just going to take, and when I read on the internet and then what other people have said, that you want to wean off of it because it is just that kind of drug that it can cause so many problems afterwards, mentally and physically. So I think I'm just going to take one tonight. I know I should probably do two today, but I just want to get it out of my system as quick as I can. But I'm waiting for them to let me know, but I just don't want it in me anymore because I just can't.
I think the medication is causing the anxiety and the panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm normally not this kind of person. And
okay.
I feel like
so my first recommendation, and this is not coaching, this is just Kathy here, is to call the pharmacist
mm-hmm.
and ask them the proper way to wean off the medication.
Okay. Yeah,
okay? Because you don't want to create another issue. And I would tell them you believe that medication is causing you know, what you believe the medication is causing. Okay. And have them note your chart. If you truly believe that that's what it is, usually panic and anxiety will put in the feelings line of the model and tell you that a thought is creating that. But if you truly believe it's the, your body's medication response to the medication, then I would call the pharmacist and ask them.
Okay. I didn't even
think
that. So thank you.
Yeah. How to wean yourself.
They know better.
And then, right. And then the next time you talk to the doctor, I would tell them what kind of reaction you had to the medication. Okay. So that's just a really physical, you know, kind of a physical thing to deal with. Mm-hmm. As far as the exercise and the arthritis and the osteoporosis go, you know, you're talking to the right girl here, right? Because I have arthritis in both the knees. Mm-hmm. What is your diet looking like?
I'm going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Right now I was doing great for month of March. I was doing 131, mm-hmm. 231 all the way up to the 14th. Well, no, not yeah. The 14th. And you can ask the girls and I tell them I am horrible at writing all the little questions on the bottom,
I'm not worried about the little questions on the bottom. Yeah. I'm worried about what's going in your mouth
and going in my mouth. And prior to that, I've been really good, but one of the side effects of this dang pill is that it makes you hungry. And I'm like, oh, well, I already know that ahead of time. I can deal with that. I know that it's going to do it, so I'll stay out of the kitchen. And I haven't been that bad, but I haven't been writing anything down the past 3 days. And I have probably snacked more than
obviously. What kind of snacks?
I do these Nature Valley. They're like these little cookies. And I'm not like eating tons. I'm eating one at night. Mm-hmm. I bought some Nashville hot chips and did, if you put your hand in a little cup size, mm-hmm. I'm eating like that. I'm not going crazy on any of my foods. And I'm actually barely eating. If I think about how like last night I made a tomato salad, I know that I'm not going crazy and overeating. My body, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Cause I am up. My low was 203 in January. And right now I'm 213 and the 4 pounds is just this past few days. Also before I wasn't getting my period and I just started back again in January where, so it's like different factors, but I don't know.
Well, here's what I would suggest to you. Mm-hmm. I would, for your knees, I would see how much of the Frankenfood I can trim out. Okay. Just because I can tell you when my knees started feeling better was when I ate, you know, real produce, you know, fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And when I cut out a lot of the cookies.
Yeah.
And the, what else did you say? Chips and the things like that. Mm-hmm. And your body, our bodies, I love that Laura's on here. She's, she's my doctor that tells me if I'm giving the right advice, right? our bodies are made, we are designed to eat whole foods, right? All this processed stuff. The cookies and the chips and the crackers and stuff, it's all manufactured food.
Right.
So what's happening probably for you is the manufactured food is inflaming you. Mm-hmm. And that when your joints get inflamed, that's when you have the pain.
Yeah.
Okay. And not only are your joints inflamed and you're having pain, you're putting on a little bit of weight, which is increasing the amount of pressure on those joints. So if you work toward leveling up your diet a little bit, and I would just do it for now, I would do it a meal at a time. I don't want you to go totally restrictive and only the outside of the store and all that kind of stuff. Just look at, get back to writing down your food every day and look at places that you can level up.
Okay.
Okay.
I just recently bought the chips. I mean, normally we don't, because my husband, he's actually watching what he's eating. And for him, he's more of an all or none. He can't have the stuff in the house because he'll want it. And not that he eats it all in one night, but it's there for a whole week. And I just recently bought the chips like 3 days ago. Coronavirus shopping thing.
I might need some chips.
And they got to be Nashville hot chicken chips. So, but normally I don't have a lot of that stuff.
Just because it's there doesn't mean you need to eat it.
No, right.
Yeah, and you don't need to eat it. You can plan it and decide if that's what you want in the moment. Right. Just don't reactively eat it. Eat it with the knowledge that this is what I'm choosing.
Right.
On plan. Okay.
Right.
And that's why you plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why you write down what you eat so that you are eating consciously and intentionally.
Right. And not just going in there. And get it. And I know.
And grabbing a little handful. It was just a little handful. It was just one cookie.
For 5 nights.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. I know I need to get back to.
And then back to the whole orthopedic side of it. I'm going to promise you. Do you have a freezer bag full of peas by any chance? You got a bag of peas in your freezer or green beans or anything like that? I would ice your knees.
Yeah.
The best ice bag I ever found was a bag of peas. Not only does it decrease the inflammation, it also adds just a little bit of pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, after you take a little walk, your knee's going to feel better.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. This is something how she's looking at it. There's something, and I've looked online, it's something cyst, and it's like a little bump in the back of my leg. And that's why she's like, it's a nerve thing.
Your Baker's cyst.
Yeah. That's what she mentioned.
Yeah.
And she's like, very it's just swollen. Yeah. And that's what's causing all that pain. And I'm like, I would think it would go away with me not. And I'll just go out there and walk and through the pain, but I can't run. And it's frustrating because I was 249, 250 when I started, and I got to 203. And I'm like, oh, 50 pounds, which 200 is still a lot for 5'1".
You can be frustrated because you can't run, or you can have compassion for your body and say, now's just not the time yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And plus I am 54. So,
But now you could run, run at 55, maybe definitely. Now's the time to take care of your knees so that they're back in running shape.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just not expect miracles to happen yet. So. Yeah.
Just keep trying things. Keep trying different levels up to see what works, what makes you feel good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. You too. See ya. Well, Zoom is acting.
I'm still here.
I know. I'm trying to change it, but there we go. Back to an attendee. All right. I think Stephanie is back. Hopefully this one works this time.
Is it working?
Yes.
Okay, start my video.
I'm glad you put in the chat that I'm back because it says Roberto Perez.
Oh, that's my husband. I had to get on his computer because for whatever, can you see me, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you see me?
I can.
Okay.
Because for whatever reason, now every time I try to do this with my cell phone, it crashes the app totally. So I don't know.
You may need to, I would uninstall and reinstall the app on your cell phone.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes they just go a little wonky. Your apps do. It happens.
I gotcha.
So what's up?
Well, so I have been overeating the last few days, as I'm sure a lot of our sisters have. But I've been really trying to do the thought work and watch the sentences that are coming in, watch the thoughts. They're just coming so fast and so frequently that I can't seem to get a hold of them and then work through them. And, in the past, what I do is I take time for myself to do models and self care and thoughts. But, right now, I have two little ones that are at home. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 4-year-old usually goes to school. So my 2-year-old and I have a little routine and I'm able to fit in that time. Mm-hmm. I'm also a nurse at a major medical center. Mm-hmm. And so, all the stuff is just coming in And so I'm just struggling to really try to take these thoughts and make them more meaningful and not use buffering with my phone, my food.
So I'm guessing you're overeating because of thoughts about the virus.
Oh yeah. Right.
Okay.
About all that it means, you know, canceling my daughter's thing. Yeah. Canceling my daughter's birthday party, my son not getting the you know, the things that he needs because I can't give him my attention to give him the education that he's getting at school, even though it's preschool. I know it's not as big of a deal as some of the other grades, but you know, just the things that I'm just very, you know, managed typically and show up, and I'm not showing up for myself. Sure.
All right. So you're spinning out. You just told me you can't give him the attention he needs. Well, of course you can. You just got to figure out how.
Well, to give him the attention he needs, something else. My daughter doesn't get the attention she needs, or I don't.
Is that
the
true?
Attention.
Is that really true? You can't. You can only give one person attention at a time.
I guess in the specific way that I'm accustomed to giving attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, were you on when Stephanie, when I was coaching Stephanie earlier? You have to almost have
some
to,
of it.
Yeah.
You almost have your, to. Your intentional model, which I wrote down.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. calm.
Right. You have to open your mind. I mean, all of us, you know, we're in a very unusual situation right now. That's my thought. I don't guess anybody would argue with that, but we are in an unusual situation right now, which requires us to be adaptable. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I work from home. Yeah. What problem do you have, Kathy? Right. Well, I usually, you know, go down to the Burger Republic once or twice a week. Hadn't been there. I usually, you know, I have my little routine too. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my nails. Right. In a few weeks.
I know my eyelashes. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with those.
Right. I mean, I can't type if my fingernails are out to here. All right. So we all have to adapt to this unusual situation, but we're not going to adapt if we're telling ourselves, I can't, or I don't know how, or this doesn't work. Okay. So my daughter-in-law is pregnant. She's due in May. She has a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. All right. So yeah, she's homeschooling, right? The 6-year-old goes to kindergarten one day a week and homeschools the other four days. But she has figured out how to occupy and pay attention to all three in her, they call it a schoolroom. It's a little den they have for the kids. It's all set up with desks and stuff to occupy them all at the same time, just like a teacher does for 25 kids. Your 4-year-old's preschool teacher probably has 12 kids that she gives attention to because she's opened her mind and educated herself in a way so she can, right? So, right, you're not going to be able to give the same type of attention probably, but there are ways that you can, if you open your mind to figuring them out, that you can give attention to both. You can create a schoolroom for both at the same time. You can have them in and out. You can, there's all different kinds of things you can try, but you have to work on the brain part of it, that this thought line up here, which drives everything in the model. Right?
For sure. For sure.
So when you say, I can't give him the amount of attention he needs, your feeling is
judged.
Who's judging you?
Myself.
Yeah. Right. You're feeling self-judged and disappointed. Mm-hmm. The action line is probably to beat yourself up if you're self-judging.
For sure.
Right. And the result line is you're concentrating on you instead of him. Right?
Yeah.
But if you say, I think I can figure this out, I'll put my brain to work on options. Ooh, I like that one. Everybody take a note, right? We got CV in the circumstance line. I'll put my brain to work on options. Who doesn't want to do that, right? Because really, we all need to be looking for options right now for adaptability. And when you, when I offer you that thought, what feeling does it create?
My brain to work on options. Calm, calming,
calm. Maybe and, open.
Yeah. Open.
Something
curious.
Like that.
Curious. Curious.
Open. Yeah.
Betsy's favorite.
Yeah. Is that Betsy's favorite? Curious.
Curious.
Funny. I'll have to remind her. I heard your favorite was curious. So pick your favorite, right? Calm, open, or curious. Mm-hmm. When you feel one or all of those things, what is your action? What are you doing or not doing?
Well, one thing is just to be patient with myself and to...
So you're toning down the self-talk.
Yeah.
Right? What else are you doing?
Giving my children things that they can do, even though they're different ages, that will entertain both of them. I'm sorry, that's really long, but you know what I'm saying.
No, that's okay. Like, how about, let's do research. Let's put research. Research options.
See, part of it is that my son has been given work by his teachers, and so I'm trying to give him that to do, which I know he enjoys. Mm-hmm. And my daughter comes over and is like, "Bah!" you know, in the mix. And so then I'm like, that's when I'm trying to, you know, help him with his stuff and keep her entertained. And that this is the part where I keep getting stuck. And the action line is, how do I allow for him to have his time to do the things that, you know, would fill his cup, but also keep her from.
Okay. When we're finished with the model, I'm going to hit your action line pretty hard.
Okay.
But when you're open and curious, you research options and you try new things.
Yeah. Try new things.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the result is you begin to find solutions. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now I can tell you my 2-year-old granddaughter, Mary Grace, loves to cut things. You give her a plastic pair of scissors and strips of paper, and she will sit there for hours. She also loves to string beads.
Mm. She likes to put beads in her mouth still. But.
Yeah. Well, I think what I would suggest you should do is Google activities for a 2-year-old. Okay. Home activities for a 2-year-old. And just see what comes up. Does she like to color? Does she like to draw?
I love my daughter, but she's the most busy little, almost not quite 2 yet. So if I bought her a pad of paper and some pens, and shortly she's drawing on herself, on the walls, on the thing. And you know,
that's what they do.
Everything's washable, luckily. Yeah. But it's like, I just keep thinking, I just need 5 minutes.
Why can't she draw? If it's washable, why don't you let her draw on the walls? Why don't you draw her a box on the wall and say, this is your wall?
Because I'm getting stuck in the thoughts.
Right. Because you're not looking for the solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah, you're right.
This is another thought you might try is this is a great opportunity to teach, what's her name?
Liliana.
To teach Liliana.
Sorry, Liliana.
Liliana. Oh, that's beautiful. Liliana. Thanks. To teach Liliana how to occupy herself. For a few minutes.
that'll be a
because it sounds like me. I mean it sounds like that you occupy her, that you entertain her all the time. So maybe this is a good opportunity to teach her how to entertain herself, maybe for 10 minutes at a time, 8 minutes at a time, and increasing. I don't know. Things to think about. But you have to stop. You have to change the dialogue in your head in order to begin looking for solutions. You're stuck in, this is not going to work.
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than saying, there's got to be, somebody says a mini trampoline. Wow. My granddaughters would bounce on their heads.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But watch the dialogue in your mind. If it's shutting you down, then that's when you talked about how the thoughts are coming so fast. You kind of immobilize. That's when you do a thought download. That's when you picture all the thoughts in your head as words. All they are words. That's it. They don't have to be acted on. They can be a mess. They're allowed, you know, we all have sentences in our mind that are meaningless, that are thought errors. Just let them be there. Just say no. Mute. I was listening to Bert Castillo, Life Coach School. I loved this analogy. She said, she doesn't delete thoughts. What she does is she says, I'm going to mute that thought. She puts it on mute. If you think about when you're watching TV and this commercial comes on, it's the fifth time you've seen this commercial in the past hour, right?
Right.
You mute the TV. You allow the commercial to play. It's okay. It's going to be there. You can't do anything with it, but you mute it. Cuts off all emotion that's attached to it. When it's over, you hit the mute button again and you watch your show. So all that junk that we call it neurological junk, the brain thoughts that are just sentences, just put them on mute. Don't judge them. Just say, you know what? That's what's going on today. That's not the one I'm choosing to work on. I'm gonna access something that actually provides a productive response to me or result, productive result.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad it is. Anything else?
No.
No.
I'm going to work on giving some options.
Well, I'll tell you what I told Stephanie. Think about a few months from now, looking back, mm-hmm. and how can you create a time that is, I don't know, I look back at my kids were 15 months apart, and it would have been really cool to have a few weeks at home with them. Because I was the working mom who had the babysitter who they loved, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would have been cool to have had that opportunity. So think about how you can create an opportunity for yourself to spend time enjoying your kids through this time.
Okay.
Think you can do that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Sorry, these are my husband's headphones and I'm like, they don't
fit your ears.
Well.
That's all right. Got anything else?
No, ma'am. Thank you so much and take care of yourself.
All right. You too. We'll see you.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. Bye. Okay. Let's see. This is crazy. All right. There she goes. All right. There's no other hands raised. Let's see what's in the Q&A box. If you're a member who requested help to stay in the tribe, how will you know if you've received help? That's a really great question. I don't know the answer. I suspect you are going to be notified. I don't know when, but I do know that all that information has been collected. And we have, we as a team have been almost emotional about how amazing this tribe is and the number of people who want to help people. It's very, very cool. Shannon, I see you. Let me pull you up here while I answer the other question. Since Zoom is acting crazy tonight. All right. Has the PMP coaches ever thought about doing a virtual camp? Bobby, that's a great question. I don't know if that has been considered or not. It's a good idea, though. Here comes Shannon. There you are.
There I am.
How are you?
Howdy.
Hi. Hi.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. What's up?
Well, I am one of those teachers who's now at home, working online. Mm-hmm. We're in Ohio, so we basically have, this is, I don't even know, day three, day four, I don't know. But what I am finding is I did today start making a schedule because I, you know, basically, I it's like the rug's just been yanked out from underneath me. And, you know, I find myself staying up late, doing things that I was never doing before. So today I actually made a schedule and went, okay, you're going to get up at this time, you're going to work out, you're going to do these things. the thing that I'm finding is, like, I've literally made a list of all the things I want to do by the end of this. And one of them was like spring cleaning. Mm-hmm. And so I am literally tearing the house apart and mm-hmm. now I'm in overwhelm.
That's hilarious.
Because now I'm going, oh my gosh, like today, I mean, I'm on the computer constantly trying to talk to kids. And then I'm looking at my kitchen going, this is a disaster now. Like now I've created a whole nother problem for myself.
Oh, wow. Oh. There's the thought. I've created a whole nother problem. Is that true?
No, it's not. Not
Why
really.
Is it not true?
Because it's not anything. I mean, basically, if it was left like that forever, mm-hmm. you know, nothing bad would happen. You know, it wouldn't. Other than I myself would be upset and aggravated and it would drive me crazy. But I mean, it's not like there's anyone else that would really have a fit over it.
But is it really a problem? Or is it just an opportunity to clean and put things back together?
Yeah. Yeah. It's seems pretty like much an opportunity.
Yeah. It seems like it's a little dramatic. I created a whole other problem. Have you seen my kitchen? Well, I pulled everything out and now I don't know what to do.
Well, and I literally, like, I kind of go, okay, well, I might as well keep the washer and dryer going. So I'm taking down the shower curtains and like, I just keep destroying mm-hmm. more rooms. And so I'm going, okay, at what point do I go, you know, yeah, like I'm in that stage right now where I'm going, okay, maybe I need to look at this scheduling thing again and like somehow plot on here how I'm going to do this and put it back together.
Yeah. What can I finish today? That's what I would start with. What box am I going to check today? And then work on that box till you get it checked. That's how you get out of overwhelm,
that's
actually.
A good one.
If you think about all the things, make a list of all the things, right, that are undone right now.
Right.
And be really specific. Don't just say the kitchen is a mess. Say, I pulled out the stove. The dishes are on the counter, whatever it is. And then just make that list and then say, these are the things I'm going to accomplish today, and I'm going to do them in this order. Okay? Then you go back in, and you start checking the boxes. And you say, this is the plan. I have made this plan. I've made it with my conscious brain, right? I'm going to start putting these things back together. And you will pull yourself out of overwhelm just by moving into action.
Okay, that's a good one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't start anything else.
I started making a list and I literally went, oh, wait, like I've started over here. Now I'm going to have to make a list that, you know, over here because I'm in this room now. Now what? I'm over in this room. And
okay. Tell me what room you're going to work. You're going to finish first.
Kitchen for sure.
Okay. What has to be done in the kitchen?
I've got to do all the tops of the cabinets.
What does that mean?
Those kinds of things.
What does that mean? Do the tops of the cabinets?
Like vacuum them.
Okay.
Get everything down off the top and dust.
Okay. What else you got to do? What else you got to do? Are you there? Are you there? I'm echoing now. I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Shannon. Something has happened to your sound.
It says I'm still on.
Oh, there you are. Your sound is back now. Get your video back. Say something now.
I can hear you.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Don't change anything.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
All right. So what else needs to be done in the kitchen?
like the floors, clean out some cabinets.
No, see, this is why you're overwhelmed. Clean out some cabinets. Yeah. Okay. Which cabinet really are you going to clean out first?
So I would need to do the back cabinets first with all the Rubbermaid.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I have a huge kitchen. That's part of the problem too.
Well, no, it's not part of the problem. The problem is you're thinking about it in too broad an expanse. That's why you're overwhelmed. If you decide, I'm getting rid of some of the Rubbermaid today.
Yeah.
Then you go in and you do that. Then you say, okay, now I'm going to look at the pots and pans. And then you go in and do that. Start, finish, start, finish, start, finish. Not pull all the things in the kitchen out and go, oh my God, I didn't even know I had all this stuff. What am I supposed to do with it? Right?
Right. Right. Well, that's what I find right now. Like I literally am opening a cabinet going, I didn't even know I had this. Like, what am I doing with this? Where am I going to put this?
Here's the other thing I would do. I would create a rule that says, if I haven't used it in the past year, I don't need it, or something like that. If I haven't used it in the past 10 years, it's going to Goodwill, whatever it is.
Right.
Create yourself a standard to work by and then do one thing at a time. So tomorrow, your job is to finish a few things. Then when you have everything finished, then just pick one thing at a time to work on. That way you start, finish. And if for some crazy reason you get called back to school, you don't have a house that's torn apart.
Right.
Right.
Because that was my other concern as I'm going, I'm not sure time-wise how much I'm going to have.
Right. None of us know that.
No.
So what it goes back to is what can you control and what you can't? Right? You can control your reaction. You can control your thoughts. You can control your actions through your house. You can't control coronavirus. Well, my CV is gone. You can't control other people's, you know, whether or not they're going to the store or out when they're not supposed to be. You can't control your superintendent's decision about when school starts. But you can control how you show up every day and what you do and what you choose to do. Makes sense.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
That makes me feel a lot better.
Crazy how that works.
I'm a lot calmer now.
Well, good. So what are you going to finish tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's going to be the back side of the kitchen, the back part of the cabinets, the Rubbermaid. Mm-hmm. If I can get through the Rubbermaid and that section, that would be great.
Okay. So just say, I'm going to get through them, not if I can. Because if you allow the if, then you're going to allow the distractions. Oh, right. Well, wait, I might need to do the shower curtain in the other room. Right?
Right. I had to put them back up this morning to take a shower. So,
So what Corinne has us do when we plan our time, we plan a week at a time. Is she tells us to put in our time blocks the result we're going to create. So for you, if you say tomorrow, which is Thursday, I'm going to start at 9, I'm going to finish at 5, and during that time, I'm cleaning out the back section of the kitchen, then you have already told your brain what you're going to accomplish during that time. It's so much more intentional than saying, well, if I have time, if I can get it done, I'm going to do the back side of the kitchen.
Right.
Because that leaves you an option to do something else or be distracted from it.
Right.
It's funny how we can create results with our thoughts, isn't it?
Yeah. That's it. Just seemed like I was spinning my tires and getting nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works. Okay.
So tomorrow, it's the back side of the kitchen.
Backside of the kitchen. It's going to get done.
By dinner time?
Yeah, by dinner time.
All right. And then if you finish at 2, you have bought yourself some time. You can work on some more shower curtains or something. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. Still no hands. Let's see what else is in the Q&A.
My husband just got word that he'll have to go on a second medication to manage his type 2 diabetes. His doc told him to stop drinking so much and to watch what he's eating, and he's resistant. I told him I would support him no matter what, and that I hope he finds a diet and exercise that works for him. But inside, I'm terrified he won't change and that we'll lose him. How can I show up as my best self for him? That's a really good question, Anonymous. The C line here is husband's health. Your thought is, I'm terrified he won't change. Right? Your feeling is scared. When you're scared, you have to look at what your actions are. Do you support him when you're scared? Probably not. You might nag him a little bit. I don't know. Since you didn't raise your hand, I don't know who you are. All I can do is guess at your model. But if this were my model, if I were scared, I would overthink it. I would probably nag. I would probably I don't know. I might even avoid the conversation, the necessary conversation. And that results in I don't change and I don't support him. Okay. And your goal is to show up for him and support him because you love him, right? So if this is your model, then you can see that the result line isn't great, right? Because you're focused on being terrified that he won't change. So you asked, how can I show up as my best self for him? So we'll put that in the result line. Show up as my best self for him. What actions have you showing up as your best self? That's something that you need to ask yourself. It might be speak calmly, help him make choices, support him, love him. Your feeling, what feeling do you need to create those actions, and what thought do you need to create that feeling? So this is the model I would encourage you to do. I would work it from the result line up to the thought line. And if you want me to help you with that, raise your hand and we'll work this model from the bottom up. This is one of my favorite things to do, is work the model from the bottom up, because I'm all about trying to figure out the result I want to create. Okay, because this is, you know, where the rubber meets the road, right? The results that you create in your life, you know, you get to decide. And sometimes it's hard for me to come up with that really, you know, super cool thought that I want to think, but I know what I want to create. I know what I want. I want to show up as my best self for my husband. I want to show up as a really good coach today. I want to get my work done. So I know what I want. Then I have to just outline the actions it takes to get there. And I have to determine what I need to feel to do those things. And then I look at what I need to think to create that feeling. So I hope that helps. I don't know who you are, but I hope you're still here. And I hope that helps. And if you want, you know, if you want to work through this with me, just raise your hand. All right. Mary says, this week, I've just lost my way. Is this normal? And how do I get back on track? Well, you get back on track with your mind. What do you mean, lost your way? Mary, why don't you raise your hand and we'll coach? You want to do that? Are we just going to treat this like Q&A tonight? I guess that's okay if you guys don't want to get coached. So this week I've just lost my way. So why have you lost your way? Is it because you are worried, scared, watching the news? You know, what's driving your inability to do your things? You know, what are you not doing? Are you not planning? Are you not scheduling your time? Are you buffering? You know, what does lost your way mean? So identify that, because if you identify what lost your way means, then you identify what you're not doing that you normally do. When you identify what you're not doing that you normally do, then you can create a plan to start working those back into your life. So let's say, for example, let's say you are not planning, you're not following your hunger scale, you are just super worried about the coronavirus, okay? So you are hyper-focused on the news and you're not doing the other things. If you think about what you are doing, which is hyper-focused on the news, and what you're not doing, which is planning in the hunger scale and getting your water and sleep, then you ask yourself, how can I wean myself off the news and put myself back into normalcy? How can I find a little bit of normalcy tomorrow? Maybe I can drink my water. Maybe I can make a plan for breakfast. Maybe I can decide I'm not going to eat after dinner. You know, so what's one step that you can make that brings you back to your way, to your normal? I think that's what I would try. I think that's where I'd go with that. So I hope that helps. If it doesn't, raise your hand, girl. Let's see. Tammy Lee wants to know, how do you not let your brain go to worst case scenario? I don't think you can prevent that, honestly. I think you have to allow your brain to be creative. And then you look at its creativity and decide if that's something that you want to spend time with. You're going to have a lot of sentences in your brain. What does Corinne say? 60,000 thoughts a day, right? Guess what? They're not all true. You don't even want to put most of them in your model. Okay, you just want to call it junk. You just want to say, you know what? That's not something I want to spend any emotional energy on today. So I'm going to move to the next one. What am I thinking now? Your primal brain, this part in the back, that's where the habits are stored, where the fight or flight is always going to try and protect you. So it's going to go to the worst case scenario and then start saying, okay, so if this happens, then we're going to do this, right? Or we're going to do that, or we're going to hunker down, or we're going to, you know, go out and kill a lion so we have food or something like that. That's what its job is. It's to protect you. You got to engage that logical brain, the part up in the front, that's a little bit slower, it's more precise, it's the one we plan with, and say, okay, so we're not dying here. We don't need to go kill a lion. We have food in the fridge. We can take care of business. It's one day at a time. We're just gonna wait this out. We're gonna see if we can be calm. You open up the conversation between the two parts of your brain. That's how you stay. You don't stay focused on worst case scenario. But just know that your brain is doing exactly what it's supposed to do when it starts seeing problems. Okay, that's what we want our brains to see problems, right? Because then, if the problem is real, if we decide it's something that we need to solve, then we can go ahead and solve it. We don't have to just dismiss it because it's not, you know, or we don't have to act on it if it's not something that we need to solve. It goes back to what can you control and what you can't, what can you not control? What do you want to focus on and what do you not want to focus on? Where do you want to put your emotional energy? My boss won't close his business, even though the local government is requesting that non-essential do so. I want to stay home, but can't afford to go without a paycheck. How can I show up and not stress about getting sick? With your thoughts.
If your boss isn't going to close your business, close the business, and he's not going to pay you unless you get to work, you have a choice to make. I mean, honestly, it's that binary. You either stay home and don't get paid, or you go to work and get paid. He's the one running the business. He gets to decide if he thinks it's essential or not. At this point, if he hasn't been mandated to close, he doesn't have to. Right? So you decide, are you going to work? If the answer is yes, then you decide, how am I going to protect myself while I'm at work? I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to keep distance. Social distancing, it's the new term, right? I'm going to keep distance from the people I can keep distance from. I'm going to just totally do what I need to do to bring my paycheck home and to protect myself. It's that binary. You know, you can decide to stress about getting sick, to disaster plan, to catastrophize, or you can decide, I'm going to control what I can control. And that's bringing money home because I got a paycheck, and keeping my hands clean and keeping my social distance. And that's really all you can do. Carolyn says, thank you, Kathy. My boss wants to sign up our whole team to work with you. Email number 8 did the trick. He was very depressed. Oh, must be impressed when I told him you only coach. Oh, depressed when I told him you only coach women. That's the best news all day, Carolyn. Thank you. Love that. I love that. Lisa says, do you still have foods that you don't keep in your home because of overeating it? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's Corinne and I just did a podcast on that. It's a very interesting podcast to me because there's just stuff I don't need to keep anymore. I used to always keep a brownie mix in my pantry just in case I wanted brownies. Because, you know, you have one of those Duncan Hines brownie mixes. All you need is like water and an egg. Everything else comes in it. And I would make a pan of brownies, and I would eat a pan of brownies over the next day or two because, you know, they couldn't get stale. They couldn't dry out, right? So I don't keep brownie mix anymore. I don't need it. I don't need brownies in the house. I don't need to spend my emotional energy on whether or not there's brownies in the house. And that's okay. There are things I keep in the house that tempt me, and I plan them. I can tell you there's an open bag of, I love potato chips. I love kettle chips. There's an open bag of kettle chips in my pantry. I think it's been in there for probably 6 or 8 months. Do I think about them? Obviously, because I'm telling you about them right now. But I haven't eaten them because I've decided I don't really need them. So there are foods I don't keep in the house anymore. I don't keep a lot of ice cream in the house either because I love ice cream. There are foods I keep in the house and manage my mind around. So it kind of works in both ways for me. Corinne, what does she tell me she doesn't keep? Peanut butter. Corinne does not keep peanut butter in the house. And it's because she doesn't want to spend the emotional energy it takes to manage her mind around it. There is nothing wrong with that. If you decide that your favorite foods that you don't want to spend any emotional energy on don't need to come in the house, it is A-okay. Okay? I hope that answers your question. All right, you guys, we have 11 minutes left. I am out of questions, and I don't have any hands raised. I've already gone over the schedule. What else can I talk about? Where's the chat? Let's see what's going on in the chat over here. I don't know where the chat went. Oh, there it is. Laura, wine. I think I've coached you on the wine before. I'm surprised there aren't more people since we're all at home. Yeah, I sort of am too. Oh, Tammy Lee's got her hand raised. All right. Such an amazing opportunity to drop in for coaching. All right, let's get you on here. Hello. Oh, wait, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. Do you have headphones plugged in or anything like that? No? I don't know what to tell you. It's a setting, I'm sure. Check the, you're on a laptop, right? Check the volume on your laptop, the volume on your speakers. Oh, you may have hit it. Say something. No, that wasn't it. I thought I heard something. Man, do you want to try and go out and come? Oh, wait, what'd you do? I hear something. Yeah, it's not. Man, I'm sorry. You want to try and go out and come back in?
Sure.
Oh, wait. Did you do something?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. We're echoing a little bit, but I can hear you now. I don't know what you did.
Okay. I don't know. I kept pushing things until it worked.
Okay. It worked. Let's do this. What you got?
All right. I have been doing really well. Lost about 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. I'm a June baby. Mm-hmm. And I've gained weight the last week. I'm a teacher and lots have happened. My husband's home because he was traveling, so they asked him not to come to work. Just lots of things happening. But here's the thing. This is a little bigger. Since December, I really have not lost much weight. I've been going up and down and up and down. And I kind of use, like, if I'm ill, because I had a long, like, cold-like thing for a while, and I was like, oh, I'm sick, then I get to, you know, I kind of use things as an excuse. So I feel like the last few days I've been using this as an excuse. I've been eating cookies every night or ice cream, something every night, and I usually don't do that. So, I've been writing,
is that why you're not losing weight?
Hmm?
Cookies and the ice cream at night. If you had to guess, is that why you're not losing weight?
Yes. Okay. Are you planning them? I did. Yes. I planned them. Mm-hmm. And then like the last 4 days I have not. I've been trying to like come back down and I have not, but I'm still eating them. And
so, are you doing your discovery worksheets?
I have like half the time.
Okay. So you should do them every time.
Every time.
Okay.
I know.
And you should look for trends. Because if you're always eating, what'd you say, cookies and ice cream at night, it's because of your thought. You have a pattern that you need to uncover, and your pattern is always, you know, it's just like the model. It starts with a thought. Okay. Oh, that would sound good. Or it's 8 o'clock. We should eat. Or yes. I'm not losing weight anyway, or something like that. You're telling yourself something that leads to a feeling of, oh, I don't know, disconnected from your weight loss or avoidance or something, who knows. And your action line is to eat.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. Okay.
So you have to uncover the pattern.
All right.
Another way you can do that is to sit at 8 o'clock tonight and think cookies would be, you know, time for cookies or whatever it is, and sit for 10 minutes and write about why you need cookies right now.
Okay. And I tell myself I'm going to do that, and I write notes saying I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then it gets that time and it's almost like I forgot that I was going to do that.
Well, decide you're not going to forget tonight.
Okay.
Seriously. Okay. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not forgetting tonight. I'm not ignoring, you know, weight loss is the goal here. So we're not going to ignore this urge to eat.
Yes.
We're going to look into it.
Okay.
Okay. There's also a worksheet in NoBS. I think it's the, hang on. I want to tell you true. In phase three, It's, I think it's the Before the Urge worksheet.
Okay.
I think it's called, I'm going to tell you exactly. You should probably print a few of these.
Okay.
So if you go to No BS and you go to phase three is the overcoming overeating.
Okay, overcoming
overeating. Module 13, unit 3 is processing before an urge. And pre-urge worksheet is what it's called.
Okay.
Okay? Pre-urge worksheet. I'd print out a couple of those and tell yourself, okay, you can eat, but you got to do this worksheet first.
All right.
All right.
That's a good plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See how that does for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do your discovery worksheets. Go ahead and print them out too. In fact, I thought this was the coolest suggestion ever. I'd print one out and I'd set it on top of the ice cream in the freezer.
Oh, that is a good idea.
And not because it's punitive, just because if I eat the ice cream, I have to do the worksheet.
Okay. I will mm-hmm. do that.
I've heard about people clipping it to their chip bag in the pantry, all kinds of things. Really okay. great idea. Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Got one last question. What are some ideas to fill out not judge discovery worksheet or pre-urge worksheet? You just decide this is my opportunity to learn. See, self-judgment is like, and I said this at the relationships weekend, it's like a layer of tar you put on the actual problem. Okay? You have to work through and you have to peel off all the self-judgment before you can actually get to work. So wouldn't it be easier if you decided, I'm not going to judge myself about this, I'm just going to learn from it initially instead of going through all the beat down first, right? So that's what I would do. I would tell myself, there's no beat down here. This is a learning opportunity. This is what I need to do in order to figure myself out so that I can lose my weight. Okay? Emily, you've got your hand raised. Let's do this real quick because we're wrapping up. Let's see what you got.
Hi.
Hi.
So I had to hide from my family, but I'm the one who wanted coaching about my husband, about his okay. medicine.
Okay. How was that close on your model?
Yeah, very. Yeah. this is cyclical for us. We both have gone through phases of, getting a jump start on getting healthy, and we do well for a while and then we fall mm-hmm. off the wagon, and we're mm-hmm. both like that. And I feel like right now I'm in a better mental place to support him. And
good.
I'm not doing a diet. I'm not doing, paleo or mm-hmm. Counting macros or doing something that mm-hmm. Is super restrictive. So I feel like I need to get my thoughts together on how to best support him. Okay. So that I'm not being judgmental, but I'm not enabling him, but I'm also being supportive and doing what I need to be doing for him.
Let's say you can't enable him because you can't make his decisions for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Even if you were to put a tray of brownies down next to him, he's still the one that makes the decision whether or not to eat.
Right.
Okay. So allow him the grace to make his own decisions. That's the first okay. thing. All right. And we're going to put that in your action line. Okay. Allow him the grace to make decisions. Good or bad? Because honestly, you told him you were going to support him no matter what.
Right.
And that's part of it. Right. Do we all always make great decisions? No.
No.
Right? So what other things do you need to do to show up for him?
One thing I thought about was just keep doing P&P and being you know, losing weight the way that I want to live instead of punishing myself to lose weight. You know, the whole lose it like I'll live it, because I don't want to keep yo-yoing, and I know he doesn't.
Right.
So you want to be happy and lose weight at the same time, and that my happiness isn't isn't based on my weight and what I'm eating at the time.
Mm-hmm. So you want to, so basically what you said is you want to be an example to him, right?
Yeah.
You want to maintain happiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happiness with weight loss. That's great. I mean, if you walk around pissed off all the time because you want a hamburger, that's not supporting him, right? That's
been there, done that.
Not showing up for yourself or for him, right?
Been there, don't want to do that again.
Right, right. What else? I'm going to put show up for hubby and myself in your result line.
Oh, I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, yeah. Anything else you can put in your action line? So we have P&P work here. Obviously that's,
So
do your plan, do your assessment, check in with your Marco Polo group if you have one, do your thought work, get coached, all those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that needs to go here?
I feel like there is, because you're asking me.
Oh, no, I'm just asking you because I don't know what's in your head.
Right. I think just being a good supportive wife and, like, I don't know, living life how I want to live it instead of, I feel like I'm anxious for a lot of reasons, right? Because the way the world is right now, but this in particular has made me anxious today. And I don't want to live as an anxious person. That's not who I feel like I am, like deep down.
So this person that's doing these things, she's not anxious, right? What is she?
Right. I would say happy, confident, prepared.
Usually we pick one. I'm going to give you all of them because they probably all lead to the same actions for you.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be, think, when you think about your husband's health and to come up to have a feeling inside of happy, confident, and prepared so you can do these things, what do you have to think?
That he'll figure it out.
How about, I love him enough to let him figure it out. Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. That must be it, right?
Yeah.
How about to help him figure it out?
Okay.
I know I've offered you this thought. Does that feel like a thought you can latch on to?
Yes.
Okay. And the reason I changed this to help him figure it out is because you're allowing him the grace to make his decisions. You're being an example and you're happy around him. And when he's not worried about your well-being, he can focus on his. Right? Yeah. So if he sees you doing your work, not only are you being an example to him, you're giving him the space to decide what he wants to do. And that's how you show up for him and for you at the same time.
Okay.
I actually kind of love this model.
It's pretty cool. I do too.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Anything else?
You're welcome.
No, that's it for today.
Right. Okay. Come back and see me.
One of my accountability partners is here. Hey, Christy.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's it for me for today. Thank you very much.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. That's it for tonight. You guys have a good evening. And I will see you soon. Bye.